Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So now the reality of, we've got Donald Trump evidently paying taxes in China, just not here in the U.S. And as we just talked about, massive amounts of wealth being concentrated into the hands of the very few at the very top. Now we're talking about, closing down universities here in Pennsylvania. It's crazy to me. And again, you hear about all of this stuff, all of this concentration of wealth for the very fortunate. But for the rest of us, nary a crumb. I'm here to share some thoughts on the, and I love the way the news media put this, on this, this integration plan of how they're going to combine six universities and make them two. It's an integration plan. It's not that we're shutting four universities down and limiting the opportunity for people. No, we're going to integrate them. I love those business words. But anyway, here to share some thoughts on the integration plan is Dr. Jamie Martin. Dr. Martin is the president of APSCUF, the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties. Jamie, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
So let's start with that word that I've got a problem with. It's an integration plan. We're moving forward. We're doing away with redundancies. We're using synergy. I hate business words.
Well, it's interesting because we're talking about integration plans. Sometimes they're talking about mergers in some news outlets and they're reporting this. And the fact of the matter is, we don't know what the plan is yet. As we're seeing press releases from presidents at the six universities coming out saying we're going to be integrating. The chancellor was before the House Appropriations and Budget Education Committee on Monday and today before the same two committees in the Senate. And they were asking him lots of questions, and the answer is, I don't know yet. So the only thing they've done thus far is a financial analysis to see if it makes fiscal sense to do some plan. But there's no meat on the bones yet. And so some of these proclamations about what's going to happen or what it's going to look like are very premature.
Right. So I'm glad you said that it's premature because, when I read the story, my mind started to go, okay, you're going to close down Bloomsburg, you're going to close down Lock Haven, you're going to close down Mansfield, and you're going to create one university. So two of them are going to be by the wayside. You're going to close down either California Clarion and Edinburgh and create one there. To me, what's going to happen to all of those other communities? What's going to happen for the ability of people to be able to work and go to those universities? There's so many questions because these institutions have been there for as long as I can remember and are part of the community. To shut them down, I think, is a horrible idea.
Absolutely. And actually, the chancellor, he doesn't possess the ability to close a university. That resides with the legislature. So the closure can't happen. But you're right. So many questions with what would an integration look like, from the questions you're asking, what could happen to the local communities in the areas where these universities are located? What about athletics? What would that look like across some kind of integration of three universities into one? What about our student athletes who might be on scholarship? How could that negatively impact them? The kinds of programs that could be available. So we've been asking questions like, if at Bloomsburg you have a nursing program, does that mean that students who want to take nursing at one of those three universities have to go to the Bloomsburg site? Would they have to commute among three universities to put their entire program together? There are so many questions that need to be answered, and I'm very hopeful, as are all of my colleagues at these six universities, that the chancellor's going to hold to his word and be transparent in this process, to engage stakeholders like students and faculty and staff and alumni, business owners. There are way more questions than there are clear answers at this point.
Right.
So we'll see moving forward what the plan actually looks like.
So sadly, then, the thousand questions that I have about this, nobody has an answer for at this moment. But ultimately, we know it comes down to dollars and cents. We haven't invested enough money in these institutions. We haven't, they're not operating. And the virus has a lot to do with this as well, I assume. And we also have a federal government that hasn't helped the states and the local governments to be able to fund things like higher education. So a lot of this stuff is Hunger Games, isn't it?
It is. You know, and you know, I've talked about that in the past. We can talk about COVID, and it certainly has played a role, but this has been a longstanding problem with the state system of higher education, the lack of appropriate appropriations from the state legislature. You know, we've talked, we're anywhere from 47th to 50th in funding for public higher ed in the United States. We're not among good company in that regard. You know, our students are graduating with the highest levels of student debt, perhaps in the country. And, you know, I hate to say this, but the people who get blamed are the faculty. And listening to the House and Senate hearings over the last couple of days, you hear kind of that same narrative. Your universities cost too much. You know, you need to get a handle on the cost. And I'm thinking, you haven't funded these universities for decades. And so it's this disconnect between they're angry that costs are going up but don't see the responsibility that they have. And they've been making these moral decisions with their budgeting and not funding the public universities the way that they should have been for years.
Yeah, but this again is another one of those consequences of the tax cut fetish that one of the political parties has, you know, taking no tax pledges and running on, we didn't raise your taxes. Well, you did. You raised my local property taxes, my local city taxes, your education cost. You've raised the cost of everything else. You just haven't raised the state taxes. But I'm still paying for it, and this is the consequence of it. Now at a time when we need education the most, now at a time when we're moving into a massive change in what our economy is going to look like, from one of somewhat, you know, labor to, you know, much more AI, much more technical skill, you're closing down institutions of higher learning when we should be expanding them, expanding high school to at least include an associate's degree and beyond. It just seems really short-sighted to me.
Well, you're right, and all of this has been short-sighted. You might remember back to when Governor Corbett was there and did the massive cuts to the state system about 19%. And I recall him talking about, you know, I wasn't going to raise taxes. And I remember thinking to myself, you just raised taxes on middle-class families. You know, those who had students that were hoping to go on to one of our universities, you just raised their taxes pretty significantly by increasing tuition. And so this disinvestment in education generally, whether it's K through 12 or higher ed, has long-lasting impacts. And so it's short-sighted, you're right. Obviously, the impacts are long-term and long-lasting for a lot of families and a lot of students.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, because I remember you guys had put together a really great rally against those cuts. And I remember I was standing waiting for my turn to speak, and there was a kid standing behind me, and you know, we were just kind of, you know, talking back and forth while I was waiting. And he told me his story. He said, look, you know, if these cuts go through, you know, I might not be able to finish my education. And he said, you know, I'll be the first one in my family to be able to finish my education. And I really want to do that. And he said, you know, my grandfather wanted to go to college, but never had the chance because, you know, he got married, the war happened, and, you know, he went to the factory to work, you know, and spent his career in the factory. And my father wanted to go, and kind of the same story, but he, you know, he didn't get to finish. He went back to the factory. And the kid hit me with a line that still sticks with me. He goes, I don't have a factory to go back to. This is my only shot. And this is when we talk about higher education, especially with the state system. I remember that kid because, you know, like you said, this for some is the only shot they're going to get.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, the lack of funding does not allow us to actually meet our mission. You know, the mission of the state system was to provide a high quality, affordable education, often for students like the young man you talked to, individuals that might come from working families, blue-collar families, lower-middle-income families, middle-income families. And we've gotten to the point where we've lost our cost advantage, if you will. And so we're beginning to lock out those opportunities for big swaths of the kids in our Commonwealth. And it's really tragic.
Right.
I mean, for them not to have that opportunity, because of the cost going up, and again, what you'll hear is costs go up because of the faculty. the cost goes up because there's been a lack of investment.
Those are moral choices
that are being made.
To hit on your point, you know, one of your predecessors that we used to have on all the time, Dr. Hicks, you know, said back, you know, when I was of college age, you know, because my wife had graduated from one of the state systems. She graduated from Millersville. And, you know, she tells, you know, they went through, they paid the tuition. She was able to go through and wasn't saddled with a lifetime of debt. And it was affordable. You know, he told the story that, you know, back then when we were going to school, when our age group was college age, the state, between state and local, about 75% of that was picked up by the taxpayer. The student paid about, I think it was like 25% or something in those numbers. Now it's completely the opposite, to where, you know, the state's not picking up hardly anything, and it's all falling on the backs of the students. And you know, I remember that because I don't remember tuitions being this high when I was going to school.
No. And you know, Dr. Hicks is exactly right. It's still true today. And, you know, we started out talking about integration, but we've got another train running down a parallel track that's happening at seven of our universities where there's a possibility of retrenchment of faculty. It started out at 10. We're now down to 7. But this is looking it's going to be very real and probably somewhere in the neighborhood of potentially 300 faculty members being fired through no fault of their own, not because of disciplinary issues, not because of not doing their job, but because, you know, universities under the order of the chancellors have to reach financial sustainability in the next 2 years. But it's going to lead to massive layoffs. And, you know, the people that are left out of this whole conversation is going to be, what's the impact of losing that number of faculty at these seven universities? What's the impact on the students?
Right.
Whenever programs no longer exist, you know, they're in their sophomore year and all of a sudden their major disappears. So we're dealing with both the integration, what does that look like, and now the threat of retrenchment at half of our universities.
It sounds to me like, and look, I know there's a wing of a certain political party in this state that would love nothing more than to sell off the state system and privatize the whole bit of it, and you know, and obviously take whatever money they could do to when they liquidate it and dish it out to their wealthy friends. But it sounds to me like this is one of those mission accomplished moments, because it doesn't sound like we're moving the state system in any direction where we're going to create an environment that we working class people are going to be able to have an opportunity when we need the skills. Because, look, I do see, you know, the tech revolution being very disruptive and a lot of people my age having to go back to school and get another set of skills. I do see, you know, people having to go back, you know, often. And if you're closing these universities down, if you're getting rid of the minds, if you're going to have this massive brain drain, it just seems like we're really, really setting ourselves up for failure.
Oh, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. Losing, decimating programs and decimating universities has a huge impact on our students, and losing that number of faculty jobs, not to mention, you know, our brothers and sisters in AFSCME and other units where they're going to be seeing the same kinds of furloughs. You know, if you just want to take a really, I don't know, kind of utilitarian perspective, what's going to be that, if you just want to look at the economic impact on a community, you know, if that's what you need to look at to see this is a bad idea for some individuals and in some political parties. But, I mean, decimating universities, getting rid of programs, and making it hard for our students to attend any one of these universities has just been so disheartening for me over the last number of years, and especially just in the last, you know, 6 or 8 months, seeing what's happening and the attacks that are going on is again really, really distressing and disheartening for me.
Because I come back to, it's not that people don't want to go to these universities. It's not that you don't have students. It's not that people don't need an education. It's that they're not funding it. So to me, the simple solution here is we need politicians in Harrisburg who are going to fund it. We need people in Washington, D.C., who are going to help out states and local governments to be able to fill their budget gaps, especially during this crisis. so that they can fund these things. And we need to prioritize education because, look, at the end of the day, I don't want my kids to have to go off somewhere else to college. I don't want them to have to go to another state or halfway across the state to get an education if they don't want to. It just seems like this is a lot of bad. So what can we do? What can we, the taxpayers, what can we citizens do to say this is wrong, we're not going to take it?
Well, I think, you know, we can continue to put that message out there and make sure people are aware of the you know, the bottom line issues. And I think the other thing we can all do here in the near term is vote. You know, to let our vote be our voice in terms of where we think our country should be going and where we think, you know, the state should be going, because that's something that we can all exercise no matter who you vote for. I think making sure your voice is heard through that vote, I think that's something we can certainly do here in the near term.
Yeah. So, you know, in this plan that we began talking about, the idea of shutting down, you know, these six universities and creating two, would not, now, I guess the other question I have, would this be two centralized universities, or would they still utilize the three campuses? Have they talked about how that would look?
No, and this is you know, I guess at one level frustrating for all of us because we want these answers, and in part because the president's office press release is saying this is happening. To be fair to the chancellor, you know, he did lay out a process by which they had to follow, and the first was the financial analysis. What was announced at last week's Board of Governors meeting was that there's going to be the president from Clarion out in the Western Trio and the president from Bloomsburg in the Northeastern Trio, who will be heading up different kinds of a task force, if you will, different kinds of committees. And I'm hoping, as I said, they'll engage all the stakeholders and seek input from people. But what he talks about is one president for each of the integrated universities, one faculty, one curriculum array. And there are lots of things that people that have to be consulted and constituencies that would have to be heard before any of those plans go forward. And you know, the proposal is the plan will go forward to the April Board of Governors meeting. So there's a lot of ground to cover between October and April.
I guess the last question I've got, you know, how likely is something like this to happen? I mean, this is a major disruption. I mean, this is a major change of, the state system of higher education, which I think is the jewel of higher education in the country that we have here in Pennsylvania. You know, any chance, is there a real chance that this could happen?
Yeah, I absolutely think this could happen. On the one hand, it could be that the plan looks like, hey, this would be a great idea. It's going to grow enrollment. Each of the campuses will maintain their identity. They'll each keep their own, you know, campus footprint and have classes at each of their universities that are, you know, available to all students. That could be one idea. The other idea, you know, where they're truly merging the three and students are going to have to select, I really want to go to Bloomsburg, but they don't have the program to study I want to have there, or commuting between three universities in the middle of winter. I mean, you know, we could imagine all kinds of things that could be either good or really bad.
Yeah.
And that's why I guess I'll keep thinking to myself, you know, the devil's in the details. We'd have to see what the details are.
Yeah.
And then determine if that would be a good process or and a good outcome or not so much.
Yeah, I don't see a good outcome out of this plan, but like you said, devil's in the details, and I'm sure you'll come back and share more details as they become available with us.
Absolutely.
Hey, Dr. Martin, I appreciate you taking some time for us and sharing what's going on. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick. Have a good evening.
You as well, our good friend Dr. Jamie Martin. Make sure you check out the website appscuff.org. She's the president of APSCUF, the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculty. He's going to take a quick break. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, Rick at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back after this.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.